the question of the role of the Kohen was questioned. After all, should Moshe have a special status? Should Aaron have a special status? Or should Korach, as a Levite, should he be able to participate? God, Moshe and God told him, Rav lachem b'nei Levi, you have enough of a job just as a Levite. What do you want to be a Kohen for? So the relationship of the Kohen and the Levi also comes up in this Parshat Korach. So let's take a look. Indeed, what is the role of the Kohen? So let's share that screen and we'll get started. So the role of the Kohen. So if you you look at the very beginning when Moshe was at the burning bush, so Moshe said, let Aaron be the leader. So Hashem got very mad at Moshe and he said, Aaron, achicha ha-Levi. Aaron, who's your brother, who is a Levi, I know he's a good spokesman. And he's coming to see you. He'll be very happy. Don't worry about it. So we learned a number of important things from this. Number one, why was Aaron chosen? Because of his good heart. Aaron was chosen to be a Kohen because he's so happy for his brother. That's the role of the Kohen, is to wear the breastplate and the shoulder pads that have the names of all the tribes on them. He is a bearer of all the tribes of Israel. He bears all the Jews with him. It's on his heart. He loves the Jews. He's so happy for Moshe to be the leader. He's not a jealous brother. That's what a Kohen is. But it also calls him a Levi. What does it mean that here at this point, he's known as a Levi? I mean, everybody's a Levi. The whole family's a Levi. What do you mean the Levi? Aaron, your brother's a Levi. We know he's a Levi. What is God trying to tell Moshe by saying that his brother is a Levi? He's from the tribe of Levi, of course. So Rashi says there was an original plan. You see, he was supposed to be a Levi. Aaron would be a Levi, and Moshe would be the Kohen, and his children would be Kohenim. But since you, Moshe, you don't want it that way. You don't want to be the leader. So then, fine, you'll be the Kohen, and you are the Levi. And as it says in Divrei Yamim in the Chronicles, Moshe, the man of God, his children are known as Levites. Don't think that the children of Moshe some have some special status. No, they're just Levites. So Rashi is kind of a strange interpretation. Why does God call Aaron the Levi? Because until this moment, he was just a Levi. You just promoted him, Moshe, from a Levi to a Kohen. Okay. So they're also, the Levi is someone who's ready to serve. You see, Moshe was not ready to serve. So the Kohen is someone who's ready to serve. Levi, however, Moshe was more reluctant. Shadal, Rabbi Luzzatto, more of a Bible professor than a rabbi, but a wonderful, wonderful teacher of Tanakh. And he says as follows, the Levi, he says, Niresha, you anshe Levim lumadim yotem mishar shvatim, dovrei tzachot. He says, you know why I'm picking him? Because he's a Levi. What does a Levi mean in those days? It means someone who speaks well. Eloquent speakers. They were more appropriate to be the Kohanim. And he said, Aaron, he's your brother. Also, he's Levi in his characteristic. And you're not acting like a Levi because you refuse to go. The Ibn Ezra says, why does he call him a Levi? Benezra suggests something strange, that the Levi is not just the name of people who are from the tribe of Levi. A lot of Jews were known as Levi, and he said, Aaron is a Levi. There's a midrash that Aaron was the leader of the Jews in Egypt. Perhaps it alludes to something like that. He's a special kind of a guy. Levi, if we go back to the original meaning, when Leah gave birth to Levi, she said, my husband will now accompany me. It's someone who accompanies people, someone who's a good helper. So maybe Hashem is saying to Moshe, of course Aaron will help you. He's a Levi. He's one who accompanies, who likes to help you. So now we're learning a little bit about a Levi also. Levi is someone who accompanies you. But it also could be a special status. The Netziv, Rav Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who lived in the 19th century, so he said, Levi, to show the greatness of Aaron, it's a status of being a righteous person. the greatness of Moshe is not because he's righteous. It has something even greater than that. It's even greater than being a good guy. He's something even better. But Levi is some sort of an honor. Shimshon Val Hirsch on that verse says, that's the first time we have this expression, the Levi. It's a characteristic. It's not just a tribal status. And that's what Hashem is saying. To be a Levi is to be strong like your brother. He has all these characteristics. So a Levi is not just a tribe. It's a characteristic. It's a trait. In Devarim chapter 10, it says, "Ba'et ha'id v'dil Hashem et shevet ha'Levi." At that moment, God chose that moment of the golden calf. When the rest of the Jews sinned, Levi was chosen. La'seid Aaron b'Yad Hashem. What is he chosen for? So to carry the holy ark. Now, usually we say that, no, the Levites carry the ark, not the Kohanim. But anyway, there's a discussion about that. La'molif d'Hashem, they stand before God. So they're the ones who are in the Mikdash. Lishar tok, to serve him. So Kohanim are there to serve God. We're going to talk about later, are they there to serve us, to help us with our religious needs, Levitical needs, or are they there to serve God? V'arech b'shmo, they also give a blessing in the name of God. Adi Yom HaZeh, to this day, that's their role. So here's a very important triad of responsibilities. Stand before God. High priest, for instance, never supposed to leave the temple. Shartou, they serve him, whatever that means, probably in the Mikdash, in the Karbonis, the sacrifice. And L'varech B'shmo, to give blessings. Birchas Kohanim, or mage, is a major role of the Kohen as well. Rashi says, what does it mean to bear the ark? He says, that's what the Levites did. But la'amod lifnei Hashem, l'sharto, to stand before God and to serve him and to give a blessing, that's the Kohanim. That's the function of the Kohanim, to raise the hands. That's the priestly benedictions. So here in one verse, we have a mixture of things that Levites do, namely to carry the ark, but also to serve God and to bless his name, to bless us. That is a priestly role, not just a Levite role. Back to Parshat Korach. After Korach was swallowed up by the earth and his followers were smitten by the sun, by the fire, the Torah says that not only is Korach wrong, but here are the roles of the Kohanim from now on. So Hashem says to Aaron and to his sons, you and your family, you are responsible. You carry the sin of the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, what does that mean? You carry the iniquity of your priesthood. What does that mean? Ibn Ezra says, "Im lo tishmerehu avon alechem." The bad is on you. It's your bad. If a Jew goes into the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, it's your bad. Really, today we should have Kohanim guarding the Temple Mount, so no one should go there if they don't belong. Rashi says, I'm putting the punishment on you. If any regular Jew goes to something holy and that you're supposed to be carrying, it's your problem. Now, is this generally we associate this with the Kohanim, with the Levi. The Kohanim also are involved. Now, what's the relationship of a Kohen to a Levi? We're also interested in that as well. Look at this pasuk. The Levite tribe also, Hashem says to Aaron and his sons, now don't forget your brothers, the Levites, the tribe of your father, they're going to help you. So here it sounds like they are there. The word Levi means to accompany. They accompany the Kohen. They serve the Kohen. So whose service are the Levites in service of? Are they in service of the Kohen? They're secondary to the Kohen. Or no, they serve directly to God. Here it says that they serve the Kohanim. Ibn Ezra, Alvim Nilvim Kishma. The word Levi means to accompany. They just accompany the Kohanim. They're not a separate status. What about the Ramban? What does he say? He says that God set aside the Levites. From that day on, they were given over lavoda b'dam mishkan, to do the work of the tabernacle. So that says that they have their own status. he says, or maybe they are separated, that the Kohanim come from the Levites. They're not separated vis-a-vis themselves. They are special in that the Kohanim come from them. Maybe what is a Levi? A Levi is someone from whom his tribe comes the Kohanim. God gave those seen my own. And of course they have some roles too. It's a little unclear who carries the ark. Is it the Levium or is it the Kohanim? Because it says God gave it to the Kohanim, sons of Levi. Who carries the ark? He says they serve God, they bless his name. Also ambiguity as to whether they're serving the Kohanim or they're serving the Jews. Ibn Ezra again says the secondary role, to serve with the Kohanim. So it's secondary. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman was a rabbi in the 19th century in Germany, and he says, L'Aseret Aaron, Shvayet Mavosham, V'yernu Shakohanim, Be'etzem Hayu Nosei Aaron Haidut V'alvim Hayu Rakosim. If you want to know who the answer to the secret, who carried the ark, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman claims it's really the Kohanim. And the Levites merely help in the carrying of the Holy Ark. And one of the commentators quotes the pasuk in Yechezkel that also weighs in on this question. The Kohanim who are Levites, but it's really talking about Kohanim, children of Tzadok, the high priest. That they're the ones, what do? They guard the Mikdash, especially when the Jews stray, and they are the ones who serve, they're the ones who stand before God. When Moshe blessed the Levites at the end of the book of Devarim, he says to them, "Tumechavu me'urecha lish chasidecha." The truly righteous ones, namely Aaron and his sons, the high priest, they get the Urim v'Tumim. What does that mean, the Urim v'Tumim? That's the breastplate. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yosef B'Choshe says, all the Jews need them. The Mishpat Bnei Israel, the judgment of Israel, when the Jews have a judgment, sometimes they go to the high priest and he looks at his breastplate and from there he gets an answer. Sort of like an oracle of some sort. It has to do with judgment. It has to do with the Kohen being a judge, as you see from Parsha Shoftim. The Ralbag, Provençal philosopher, commentator, in other words, the Urim V'Tumim of Israel, they were given to the greatest righteous people, and that's the Levites, and that's Aaron. And the Urim V'Tumim, that's the highest order, and that goes to the high priest. The Moshe goes on and he says, what does a Levite do? Yorum Shmatech al Yaakov. They teach the laws to Israel. Here we learn an important revelation. That in addition to the service of the Levite, Kohanim, as well as those who offer the sacrifices, those who guard the holy places, those who give us blessings, they're also the teachers. That's the ideal thing. Somehow today it's not necessarily so. We'll see later a bit about that. But the original idea was the Levi tribe, and particularly the Kohanim, would be teachers. Now, I'd like to suggest an additional idea. It's not just that they physically are teachers, you know. Class, this is an olive, this is a bet. Rather, maybe an additional idea. What does it mean that they're the teachers? It says in Devarim, in Parsha Re'eh, that you come to the Beit HaMikdash, you will, L'man Tilmad Lirat Hashem Elokecha, you'll come to fear God. The question is, why does going to the Beit HaMikdash make you come to fear God? So the Rashbam and the Baal Tosfot, they say, you know why you fear God when you go to the Beit HaMikdash? Because when you go to the Beit HaMikdash, you see the Levite, you see the Kohen doing their thing, and you see Israelites who are helping out as well, praying, and it inspires you. So when we say that they're teachers, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're teaching the Aleph Beis or teaching the Gemara. It could mean that they inspire through the service that they do. But let's see what he says here. I forget, quoting, I believe this is the Shem Shem Valhirsch, I'm not sure. He says, Yeruj Dal Yaakov, he gave him a blessing that they should be the teachers. Because we already said the Levites are going to carry the ark. And carrying the ark means that they carry the Torah. It's a symbolic thing, that they carry the Torah. Oh wait, no, I think this is the Netziv. As it says in Parshas Ekev. And this is a bracha in two ways. Number one, that the Levites are going to, they'll answer questions. They'll answer halachic questions, legal questions. And Aaron is also given a role, as we'll see later, Vayikra. to teach. And Moshe blesses the whole tribe of Levi that they are going to be shotrim. They're like the police. They're the judges. Torah Chal Yisrael. What does it mean that he gives them the judgments and also the Torah? What does that mean? To teach people how to do things. In Divrei Yamim, Yoshiyahu said, "The Levim u'mevinim l'chol Yisrael. They help us understand things." So they're the ones that konim amavinim l'chol Yisrael. They help the Jews understand. They spread Torah. So the Netziv sees the Kohanim, the Levim, as those who are teachers and like Rosh Yeshiva. There's a Pasuk of Malachi, chapter 2, is very important as well. The lips of the priest guard knowledge, and men seek ruling from his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. So we learn two things from here. Number one, Kohen is a teacher. Number two, he's a messenger of God. He's a Malach Hashem. He's a messenger of God. He's not just a messenger of the Jews. He's a messenger of God. That's one of the questions. What is a Kohen? Is a Kohen is a messenger of the Jews, or is he a messenger of God? And here it says, he's a messenger. He's a Malach, which means a messenger of God. But the role of the Kohen as a teacher appears here as well. And again, does it mean actually teaches in a classroom, or does it mean that he inspires through the service and the worship? So we raise the question, whose messenger is he? So Rashi says in Malachi, the prophet there, Sifsei Kohen, the lips of the Kohen, it's on them to keep the tradition going. Because they're going to people ask them questions. And they're angels. What does that mean? They are the messengers of God. Just like angels serve before him, they also are going to serve God. So whose servants are they? God's servants, not ours. That's what it seems to say here. The Ibn Ezra says that, what does the Malachi mean? He's the Kohen has to be straight. He has to be a good guy. The Kohen he's a shaliach to be between the Jews and Israel. And a Malach, an angel between the Jews and Israel. That sort of obfuscates the answer to the question. Is he a messenger for the Jews or for God? Goes back and forth. There's the image of Moshe going back and forth between God and the Jews, up and down, as a way of showing that he is both for us and for God. The Gemara Katan, the Talmud interprets this verse in Malachi 2:7, where he says, if the rabbi, so here the rabbis associate this verse with an angel, with a teacher. If the rabbi is like an angel of God, meaning that he's clean of any, bad reputation, the Yivakru Torah Mipi, then you can seek Torah from his mouth. But not if not, you shouldn't. There's a debate in the Talmud as to whether you can study Torah from someone who has fallen away from Torah. The Rebbe Meir thought you could try to do it, but not everyone's Rebbe Meir to try to do that. Talmud suggests that it's better, or perhaps it's only appropriate to have a teacher who is himself someone who is, beyond question. So the Talmud expands this to a rabbi as well as a Kohen, but perhaps the original meaning had to do with a Kohen who was meant to be a particularly the inspiring teaching type. The Radak there in Malachi says that what does it mean that he guards the wisdom? Because it's appropriate for every Kohen to know with his lips, to guard wisdom and to teach them with his lips to the Jewish people. And so he thinks it's literal. As it says in the blessings of Moshe, Yerum Shvetech Yaakov, they teach the laws to Israel. And therefore, people will seek wisdom from him. What does it mean? He's a messenger of God. He's a shliach lo rot divrei hakel Yisrael. He's a messenger in a very simple sense to teach Torah to Israel. In Leviticus chapter 11, it's often overlooked, but there at the end of Shemini, there's also a very important verse. It says that God spoke to Aaron, and he told them that you're not allowed to drink wine or a strong drink when they go to serve in the Beit HaMikdash. And if not, there's a terrible punishment for that. And their job is to distinguish between that which is sacred, that which is holy, that which is pure, that which is impure, and to teach the Jew, the Israelites, all the chukim. So, on the one hand, it's very simple. It relates to the guarding. We said before, the Kohen is in charge of guarding the temple, so no Israelites should come in. If they don't belong in a particular section of the Beit HaMikdash, they shouldn't touch things. They shouldn't touch. They're the docents of the Beit HaMikdash, so to speak. So that itself is like a teacher. The teacher says, the guard at the museum says, don't touch that statue. Don't touch that painting. And the Kohen says, don't go into that section. So in that sense, he's a teacher. So it could be in that sense. But it does say explicitly to teach the Jewish people all the laws that God has spoken. So it's an obscure verse, but it says an important message that it's, that the Kohen might be in charge of teaching. What is a Kohen? Kohen is some sort of a teacher. Again, is that an explicit thing or an implicit thing? That leaves what to be desired. Also in Parshat Emor, in Leviticus 21, it says, V'kidashto, and you should sanctify him. You should give honor and holiness to the Kohen. Here it says a very important thing. The holiness of the Kohen could come from two sources, says Rabbi Soloveitchik. Is it come from the fact that he's a son of Aaron, that he's a Levi, that he comes from a certain kind of status, or is it because he offers the sacrifices? As Rabbi Soloveitchik said, he is the Kli Sharet. If you had a certain vessel that you used to offer the meal offerings, right, with a sprinkle of blood, you would say, that's a holy vessel. That's what a Kohen is. He's a vessel for sacrifices. So therefore, he's holy. Of course, today, they don't bring sacrifices, so that sanctity is not with them. But they have the sanctity of being children of Aaron and giving the blessing. He is holy, etc. What does it mean that he's holy? So Rashi says, you have to treat him holy. Let him have the first aliyah. Let him, levarach rishon, rasuda. Let him lead the benching. So whenever you have a holy thing, give him the first job. Now, you know, he doesn't have to be the leadoff hitter in the baseball game because that's not a holy activity. But if you have a holy activity, let him be the holy person. My nephew at his bar mitzvah spoke about the question of, could you use a Kohen for profane matters? So Rabbi Tam said, well, nowadays you could, because he can waive his right. Rabbi Peter said he could waive his right to be to be so holy. So he could take out the garbage, for instance. But if he was wearing his garments of being a Kohen, perhaps when he was serving the Beit HaMikdash, it would be harder to waive your sanctity because then you're a holy vessel. Holy vessel can't waive his sanctity. The Sefer HaChinuch explains that why should you give honor to the Kohen? Because it's known that it's the honor of the master to honor his servants, right? If the queen had a servant and you treated the servant like dirt, it means you don't appreciate the queen. So whenever we honor the Kohen, we remember in our minds the greatness of God. And because of that thought, then there'll be a great blessing on us. And that's how maybe the priestly blessings come from that source. Not sure if he might be his intention. So we ask the question, whose servant is the Kohen? In fact, the Gemara has two different Gemaras about this. Rav Kahana, son of Rabbi Yeshua, says unequivocally, no question about it, the Kohanim are messengers of God, not our messengers. Because if you think there are messengers, how could he be a messenger? For me, I can't bring a sacrifice. How could he bring a sacrifice if he's my messenger? So it must be. He's a messenger of God. However, the Gemara Nedarim says he might have a dilemma that was raised. Are they agents of God or agents of ours? So so what difference does it make? So he says, well, let's say I want to bring a sacrifice, but I say, I vow that I don't want to have anything to do with Tom Jones. Tom has nothing to do with him. I don't want to benefit one iota from him. I don't want to drink a glass of water from him. So then what happens? He's bringing my sacrifice, and somehow, the priests provide benefit for one whose benefit they are forbidden to vow. So, let's say the Kohen, let's say a Jew, who the Kohen can't stand his guts. He vowed that he'd never have anything to do with him, and he brings a sacrifice. Is he doing him a favor, or is he working for God? So it depends. If you say they're agents of heaven, it's okay. So what's the status of the priest? So the Gemara in Nedarim has a question: whose agent is a Kohen? But the Gemara in Kedushin, the Talmud over there, says there's no question. He's definitely a messenger of God. So how do you resolve these two passages? So we have a few answers. One rabbi, the Gush, said that there is the sacrificing, and then there's the atonement. For the atonement, that I'm a messenger of God. For the sacrificing, I'm a messenger of the person. The Milki Yosef quotes the Ritva. He says, what are you talking about? Of course they're messengers of God. No question about that. The question is, are they also messengers of ours? That's the question. Ramban says that while it was a question in the Gemara Nedarim, it was answered by the Gemara in Kedushin. Reb Shimon Shkop was one of the geniuses of the last 100 years. He said, and I'm not sure I fully understand it because I'm not one of the geniuses of the last 100 years, but he said something like this. The Shluch Edidan, when we say that he's a messenger of ours, it's not on the act. One second. Just move the screen over here. When we say he's a messenger of ours, it's not on the action. It's on the will. Because the action is a messenger of God, but he's a messenger of mine in terms of my will. I desired that he bring the sacrifice for me. I don't know exactly what Rav Shimon Shkop means, but it's interesting to see how a genius like that tries to distinguish. Rav Salvechik, as we mentioned, says, is he holy because he's a vessel of offering, or is he holy because he's the son of Aaron? And which one could you waive? You can't waive being a vessel of God. Also, let's say you're a son of Aaron, but your mother was divorced, and your father should not have married your mother. But he did. So then you are halal. You lost your sanctity as a Kohen. But maybe you could still serve as a vessel of God because you're still a son of Aaron. But maybe you shouldn't serve as a vessel of God. So interesting discussion about that as well. One of the questions as to whether the Kohen and Levi have separate statuses comes up in the at a bris. At a bris, there's a wonderful poem, and the poem starts like this. You see, when you lead the benching, so you always say "Pershus Marnan Bar Avosai" with the permission of all the different people here. So who do you have to ask permission from? So sometimes they mention the rabbi, Kohen. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to do the benching, even though maybe Melchatzel or Shalom or someone else should get the blessing. If you don't mind, I'm going to lead the benching. So we say "Bershus HaKohanim Halvim." So there's a poem that was written to introduce the benching at a bris, and it says with the permission of the Kohanim, who are Levites. But another version says, if you see the parentheses over here, the Vav, and Bershus HaKohanim VeHalvim. Do I need to ask permission from the Levites as well? If the Levite is just a one who serves the Kohen, so he's not a separate entity. He's just helping the Kohen. I don't need to ask him. He's a servant of the Kohen. I'll ask permission from the Kohanim. By extension, I'll get the permission of the Levites. Or no, a Levite is a separate holy entity. I have to ask permission of the Kohanim and the Levites. Rabbi Schefter thought you should ask for both. And I heard him at the benching at the RCA convention. He said, Rishus Kohanim, Levim. He wasn't a bris, but he asked permission of the Kohanim and the Levim. Moving along, in Parshas Baloscha, it says that God gave the Levim to Aaron from the Jews. So it's interesting that the Levites come from the Jews. I hold that special thing in Sefer Bamidbar, the authority comes from the people of Israel, so that it's very important that the Levites come from the Jews. They come from our firstborn, etc. La'avodah avodat b'nei Yisrael, they do our bidding, the Jews' bidding, and they atone for us. So here it sounds like they stem from, they're on the one hand, they're given to Aaron, they work for them, but they come from the Jews. The Levites somehow, they work for us. Maybe that supports the idea that they're shluchei didan. What is the role of Levim? So the Sefer HaChinuch says their role is to work in the Beit HaMikdash, to guard the gates, and also to sing on the sacrifices. He says as follows. He says that why are they doing these things? Kavod HaMelech, he says, it's the honor of the king to have a set group who are the king's guards. You know, there's like an honor guard. They only come from a certain family. That's a certain honor that not everyone can be a guard for the king. Now, there's a special mitzvah in the Torah to have role definition, that the Kohanim should not do the Levite thing, the Levite should not do what the Kohanim do. There's even a thing that the Levite shouldn't do the job of their friend either. If you're a guard, you shouldn't be a singer. If you're a singer, you shouldn't be a guard. So there's a mitzvah, Shelo Yizasku, Kohanim, Alevim, Ba'avodas HaKohanim. No one should switch. Everyone, Ish, Alvodato V'Masot. It says at the beginning of Bamidbar, every person, particularly the Kohanim, Levim, should do their own job and their own carrying. Sefer HaBatim is a fascinating a work. My sons have been introducing me to his commentary on the mitzvot. He's well known as a commentary on the Talmud, but lesser known is the fact that Rav Hirschl put out his commentary on the mitzvot, 613 mitzvot, and he explains each mitzvah like the Sefer HaChinuch. And he says, we should honor the Kohanim, and even if they don't want them to honor them, we should honor them anyway. So he explains an interesting thing, and it's something that Rav Schechter pointed out. I'm not sure he was quoting from the Sefer Batim. Rav Schechter said, and the Sefer Batim says the same thing. He says, you know, it's not really very nice to be a Kohen. I mean, it's pretty haughty to think that you're the messenger of God, you're an angel of God. So he says, well, you have to force him to do it, because it's not natural for someone to seek honor. Usually you should refuse as a matter of modesty. So therefore, there's a mitzvah to go out and say, no, you're getting the first aliyah. He says, no, it's okay. You can take it. No, you have to take it, because we're forcing you to do it. This is an idea in Judaism that, let's say, someone says, oh, why don't you have the next aliyah? You're supposed to say, no, not me. Why don't you lead the services? No, it's okay. And then only the second, third time, you say, well, okay, fine, I'll do it. Because we want everyone to be modest. No one should be seeking honor. But if they make you do it, you do it. It's a problem of deciding to be a rabbi. They should force you. Some congregations, they say, you're the most learned person in the congregation. We insist that you be the rabbi. I say, no, I don't want to. I'm just an accountant. He says, no, you're a tremendously learned person. We want you to be the rabbi. And that's probably the best way to go. And that's how it happens with the Levites, that they're forced to be the leaders. So we looked at a number of different questions. Number one, what is the role of the Kohen? What is his fundamental role? That's the offering of the sacrifices, but also teaching the Jews. Does he teach explicitly or implicitly, by role modeling or by explicitly being an actual part of the teaching core of the Jewish people? Is he a messenger of God, or is he a messenger of ours? Does he work for us? Does he work for God? And is it both? Is the Talmud in one place seems to say that it's shluchei derachmana, he's a messenger of God. What's the relationship between a Kohen and a Levi? Is the Levi just serving the Kohen, or is the Levi serving God, or is the Levi serving us? It's an interesting question as well. But in any event, we also saw the word Levi can mean someone who's special, who's particularly righteous. And that's why Aaron was referred to as Levi even before he was chosen. We also mentioned that they're supposed to be particularly pure. They have to realize that they are messengers and almost like angels of God. They're very much involved in protecting and defending the Beit HaMikdash. What else did we say? We said that the Levites, the word Levi itself implies some sort of a secondary role. There's a big question about who actually carried the ark, and Rav Tzvi Hoffman believes that it was mostly the Kohanim, but the Levim helped as well. The Moshe Rabbeinu already laid out the notion that they are the teachers, and Malachi also emphasizes that point as well, but we said, don't forget, it's also in Leviticus 11, also says their role is to teach. And the Talmud sees this as a model for teachers in general. They need to have a certain standard in order to be teachers altogether. The Radak believes that the teaching role is an explicit one of actually teaching, and perhaps it says the same thing in Leviticus 11 as well. He said that the holiness stems from the fact that he brings the offerings. Even today, the idea that he could bring the offerings is worthy of bringing the offerings, and that we need to honor them with special holy honors, like today we give them the first aliyah. And it's a matter of honoring God. When you honor the Kohen, you're honoring those who serve God, which itself is an honor to God. And we had a contradiction between the two passages in the Talmud as to whether they are messengers of ours or messengers of God. And we had the Rabbi Soloveitchik's view that they may indeed be like some sort of, it's like they're a vessel of serving God. So in any event, all of this was challenged by Korach in this week's Parsha, and that's why it's particularly egregious, because he was dishonoring the special tribe of God, and he was dishonoring his own role as a secondary role. It was a difficult role to be a Levi, to be the second in command, to be really working for the Jewish people, for the Kohanim. He couldn't take it. He wanted to be in charge. But the secondary role is very important as well. But isn't it immodest to be a Kohen? That's why we say, that's right. But the people force you to be a high priest. Say, no, you're going to be the high priest, whether you like it or not. You're going to bring the sacrifice. You're going to get the first aliyah. We, the Jews, have to give them that role. We have to prop them up, because it's not modest for them to take the role for themselves. In any event, those are some thoughts on the role of the Kohen. Okay, take care, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks, Rabbi.
You too, bye-bye. And thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.